Hi, Ron.
Ben Lynn, join later. That'll be okay. But since we have a quorum, I don't want to hold everyone else up. 6:05 now. We have quite a few resolutions here and we have some guests. So to respect their time, I'll call this meeting to order and ask that we please stand for the pledge to the flag.
Flag.
Mr. Litz will present the flag. Okay.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I'll accept a motion to approve the minutes from our July 7th meeting at this time.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm thinking I'm at a meeting again.
Are anyone opposed? Okay. So tonight we have, I invited the newly formed IDA members, and we have a few of the members from the IDA here with us. And I just thought they could give us a brief overview of how things are progressing since the new board has been formed, and you know, some high level overview of how things are going. So I don't know if you guys have discussed who is going to speak on behalf, but whoever is going to, please feel free and let us know what's going on here. Thanks.
I guess I'll kick it off if you don't mind, Rose and Rick. You know, it's not rocket science for us. We came in and, you know, I remember interviewing prior to get reappointed to the board. And my feelings then are my feelings now. We are going to change a culture. We're going to reaffirm a relationship with the legislature, whether it's just that or on the executive level of the county. We want to come home. And this is what we've started off doing. I think we're successful. We've had some meetings with the county executive. We've had meetings with economic development, and it's no secret. It hasn't been anything other than you know, discussing what we'd like to see from them, asking them what they'd like to see from us, a spirit of working together, and so far so good. And as far as the board itself, the makeup of the board, I have my own leadership style, and I believe in creating a big footprint. And I think we're doing that. Unlike a lot of other people, I was able to take people based on their skill set and put them in charge of whether it's finance or governance or audit, and let them pick their committee members, which, you know, everybody wants to be appreciated and all views are accepted, and they're, I wouldn't say debated, discussed is a better way to put it. We have a couple of hot button projects out there right now that we are making sure that we take our time and follow the steps and all the protocols so we can get it right, because it's important. We're not in the business of scaring people away, but we're in the business of good, sustainable projects. So whether it's our CEO, who is invaluable, Rose Woodruff, or Rick Jones, who's on here, who always brings a good, well-educated perspective as far as the numbers on projects. And, you know, we've been given a lot of information to make judgments. And what we try to do is try to take the emotion and the personal feelings out of it and stick to the mission. So Chair, again, it's nothing that's new or recreating the wheel. I want to thank the Chair, Mr. Cahill, for, you know, we've had some conversations. You know, he's given me his number. He said, hey, listen, and I've done the same. You know, if something comes up and we need clarification or we want to share opinions with each other, that's fine. I think our board is as transparent as you're going to get. We welcome input from the other agencies. And at the end of the day, we're the ones who are tasked with making these decisions. So I'll leave it up to my colleagues if they want to add something or there's any questions.
Rose, would you like to add?
I don't know if Rick disappeared.
Yeah, I think he did. I think we lost Rick, actually.
He'll show up.
He's far out in the middle of Accord out there, right? So, I think Jimmy pretty well said it. I'm really excited. The board has done a really good job with, as far as, really taking their time to consider projects and also considering the fact that, we're in a totally different climate, totally different situation, and really taking care to make sure that we check and see how the county's doing before we necessarily issue pilots or go forward with any project. We reached out, like he said, to the county executive. We've reached out to the Chamber of Commerce, and we've tried to reach out to anybody that we can, because the board feels like, we want to hear the opinions of everybody, and we want to do the best that we can. And then right now we've got our grant program going on. I'm looking forward to the board voting on who's going to get grants next week. So far, I think we have about $130,000 that people have applied for, and that's at the tune of about $2,500 each, because I think only two or three of them are our projects. So it's a lot of businesses, it's a lot of organizations, and we're not even halfway there. Today, I met with Ward Todd and be on his radio show for this weekend to really help to get the word out so that we can help as many as possible.
Great. Thank you very much. Mr. Jones, we lost you for a few minutes there. Mr. Malcolm and Ms. Woodworth spoke. If you would like to add something for a few minutes, feel free.
I heard what Rose said. I don't know what Jim said, and I apologize.
All good for you, Rick.
I lost the Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
I think that I've been on the board now for 2.5 years, and I think it's safe to say that with Jim as the chair and two new members, there's a different level of anxiety, if you would, or commitment is a better word, to get some things done. The first couple of years were just trying to get some administrative things out of the way. But it's pretty exciting. I don't know if Jim mentioned, we had, we took a look at our housing policy recently, so we may have some changes to make to that. We're looking at the projects that are in place right now, and some of them are in compliance, as it turns out, a few are out of compliance. And so between our attorneys and Rose, we'll be taking a look at meeting with those that are out of compliance to determine why they're out of compliance and how do we get them back into compliance. In most cases, it's not meeting the staffing numbers that they're required to meet. And some of that is to be expected given the current situation, the COVID situation. But we'll be meeting with them over the next, I'm sure, next couple of months. So I think there's a lot going on. I heard Rose mention about the grants. That was real exciting that we were able to get those in place. And Rose, what did we commit? About $300,000? Did you mention that? Okay. Mostly out of the NBA and a little bit out of the CRC. So that's really great. And we still have a nice size budget. As a CFO, I'm comfortable if need be later on, and depending upon how our fee schedule goes with new projects, we might even be able to do some things in a few months, depending on how long this COVID pandemic scenario lasts. Maybe we can do some additional things with some of the additional money that we have in place. I guess even with the $300,000 coming off the top, we still have about $1,250,000. Exciting. My enthusiasm is high. I think it's safe to say so is that of the other six members and of Rose and our attorneys. And anytime you could say that attorneys get excited about something, that's a good place to be. And I think they're pretty excited about trying to accomplish.
Great. Just like to add one more thing, Brian. We we were able to bring in some, we brought in the comptroller's office, representative from his office. Actually, Rose put it together. Rose, would you elaborate?
Yeah, we had a really great training. It was a full day. I tortured the board from 9 to 5, but they were actually, they were all great. They were all enthusiastic. So at the beginning, the morning was a little bit probably the most boring because that was me and our attorneys discussing IDAs as a whole and then our policies, our bylaws, and some of our projects so that, you know, it was a real overview of what we are and what we do. And then in the afternoon, we had the former comptroller, Elliot Auerbach, and his team for the Division of Schools and Local Government Accountability. They gave a good presentation, talked about Paris reports for 2018, our annual reporting, and talked about compliance issues for IDAs. And then we had Senator Skoufis, who kind of gave a different point of view, but I think one that was extremely valued about, again, compliance issues and things that he's looking to get passed for with the legislature in Albany this year or next year. He had a lot of really valuable points. And then we had March Gallagher as well, and kind of a different point of view about, yes, we might be looking at a $40 million deficit this year. And we were really concerned and really wanted to talk to her. You know, does that mean we should be careful with sales tax? Does that mean we should be careful with pilots? But she actually talked to us about some of the projects she thought that wouldn't be such a great IDA project. And now seeing on the flip side how much sales tax revenue they've created through the years and how much it's really helped the economy. And then we also were lucky enough to have Lisa Berger and Evelyn Wright talk about economic development as a whole. So it was a really nice, well-rounded training day.
They did it in person in the chambers too.
Right. Well, that's great. I just want to take a moment and thank you folks, because the members of the board, this is a volunteer board, and they spend a lot of their own time doing this work, you know, at their own expense. And, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed by me. And I just wanted to say thank you for your time and your effort. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the next couple of years here where we can see great progress going with the economic development and cooperation with the IDA in the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You guys are welcome to hang around, but we're going to move on to resolutions now. You feel free to leave or stay. It's up to you. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the first group of resolutions. The first resolution is Resolution 232, calling for the issuance of an extended moratorium on evictions and rent relief during the state of emergency.
I heard somebody say they were moving it. Did I?
Mary Beth is moving it. Is there a second? I'll second it for discussion here so we can get the thing rolling here. Anybody on the committee want to discuss before we go to Legislator Bartels? Okay, go ahead, Tracy. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for moving it for discussion. I'm going to ask again, I'm going to ask that we postpone it, but I may end up having to withdraw it. I feel really strongly about this resolution. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here last month to talk about it. If you could just take a moment and give you some background. I was trying to look for best models of legislation that addressed this issue, and something it was sent to me actually from a national group, but it turned out that what they sent me was happened to be from Kingston, and I put it in initially pretty close to verbatim to Kingston's policy, which was passed the Kingston City Board or City Council. The first problem with it as is that it's in as a policy, which it obviously can't stand as a policy. If we were to undertake anything, it would have to be as a local law. But the bigger problem is that it may be a certain amount of wishful thinking on my part, and potentially on Kingston's part as well, in that we're definitely stepping into state authority. So, so I've been trying. I actually reached out to Deputy County Executive Wright because I heard that there was some work happening on a similar background. She said it wasn't happening in the Housing Commission, but we, you know, we shared concerns about where we see the possibility of this going, particularly for renters. What I think was so great about this piece of legislation is that it does protect landlords to the extent that once the moratorium does get lifted, payments have to be current. That said, we can only do what we can do. So what I'm going to look to potentially bring back is either a memorializing resolution, which we know only has so many legs, or the possibility of a home rule request. Ithaca is doing some really kind of out there things, and that they did that through a home rule request and some changes in their local authority. So again, I don't know what we're going to be able to do, but I think we really have to be thinking outside the box, because very soon I think we're going to see potentially, and this is a committee that knows about this well, but potentially thousands of people finding themselves evicted, both because of back rent that's owed, but also because there's a lot of pressure on the housing market now, so much so that housing stock is going to be put on the market rather than continue to rent. So I just worry for so many of our residents, and hopefully I'll have something concrete. But if we could just postpone this for now, I'm likely to pull it and bring you back something different.
I'm good with that. So we'll keep this and we'll bring it back next month in some form, maybe, maybe not, right?
Yeah. And if anyone on the committee wants to reach out to me, I'm happy to, you know, to collaborate on ideas in order to move something forward, something that can create some kind of protection.
Great. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, motion to postpone.
I'll make a motion to postpone.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I did want to make one comment, though. I mean, we're concerned about housing and having housing stock, but if landlords can't keep up their payments and the landlords cannot pay their taxes, everything gets in default, and then we don't have the housing stock. There's nothing for people to rent because it's been foreclosed upon.
No.
Can I respond to that?
Sure, feel free.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I hear you, Herb, and I'm concerned for landlords too. You know, our family's been in the position of being landlords over the course of time, so I know that the landlords face pressures as well. The wishful thinking of this legislation required that once the moratorium was lifted, that landlords be getting regular payment, or the exception wasn't going to be made. So if you've ever gone through an eviction proceeding, you know, if you were going to evict someone, that could take months of continued non-payment. This proposed policy would have required that landlords were getting their month-to-month rent and that a plan was put in place for back rent, which was the only reason it struck me as being protective of both. I think that's probably what the state is struggling with right now as well, is that there's, you know, there are a million circumstances that could come up and each one is unique. So when you try to paint this broad picture to create a protection other than providing financial resources to pay rent, but in order to solve the problem in Ulster County, the problem that I think we're going to see, it's going to take so much more money than we have in this already stressed environment, even in a great environment. You know, I know that the executive put together a proposal that has some rent assistance, but you know, it's $100,000+. How many people can that help for how long?
It's like about a month's support, really.
Exactly. You know? And the cost of mass homelessness is going to be pretty dynamic. I mean, it's gonna have a huge cost on services, et cetera. So I think we have to try to struggle through thinking what the best practices are. I mean, at this point, I know that the executive's office office is looking at what they can do or what we as a county could do in order to provide for the increased homelessness that we're expecting. That's where we're at versus preventing the homelessness. Now we're saying, okay, what face can we provide because we don't have enough right now.
Right.
So again, I'm open to the tough discussion. And I welcome everybody's comments between now and then. And I'm going to continue to do research and see if there's something that we can't bring forward as a county.
Well, thank you very much, Legislator.
Mr. Chairman, Legislator Archer is with us now.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. And I see that Dennis had his hand up. I don't know if you, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
Thanks, Legislator Bryan, appreciate it. Just a couple of points relative to the Resolution 232. You did mention the county's emergency rental assistance program. We did move $177,000 from our community development block grant funds into emergency rental assistance. We have, I think the number is 53 families that have signed up and qualified outside the city of Kingston for that, and they will pay 3 months rent up to $1,000 a month. So that's the first thing. It's been successful. We do have some more money to move should that need arise. What we're waiting for is the state just stood up a $100 million rental assistance program itself. So we're looking to see what that brings relative to that the need in Ulster County for that, and how many Ulster County folks can sign up for that particular program as well. We should have some data on that, I would say, probably within a couple of weeks, but that's a fairly large program. In addition, the state has about $29 million of community development block grant funds that it got from the CARES Act that it hasn't distributed to what we call non-entitlement counties, of which Ulster County is one. So we have had at least beginning conversations with the Office of Community Renewal about the use of that funds and about the needs in Ulster County. The other thing that just happened is OTDOT just released emergency solution grant money for non-entitlement counties. Ulster County got about $750,000. That program for reuse of those funds essentially had to be back. It has to be signed by the Commissioner of Social Services. It has to go back to the state, I believe, by last Friday it went back to the state. We worked with the continuum of care, the commissioner and others, to establish lead agencies to have a conversation about what the appropriate use of those funds are. And in essence, they are literally trying to make sure that we have enough funds for homeless housing moving forward into the fall. And last but not least is to take some of that money and move it towards helping the legal services of Hudson Valley avoid evictions. So we've essentially moved some of that money that the original, I haven't seen the final application or what the commissioner signed, but the original thought was we were going to move some money into and working with the Office of Legal Services to essentially help avoid evictions that are not legitimate. So those are what's out there right now. We certainly recognize the fact that, and I know the commissioner recognizes the fact that there's a potential for significant amounts of change. One of the things that I think was important with respect to the comments as it in terms of the need for landlords, right now the supply of housing in Ulster County is at an all-time low. And one of the things that's happening is the rental problems have exacerbated because the rents are now higher than what we call the HUD fair market rent. So we have the individuals that essentially have housing choice vouchers, what we used to call Section 8 vouchers, that are out in the community actively looking for partners, actively looking for placements for apartments, where the government will pay the fair market rent and they only have to pay 30% of their income, regardless of what that income is relative to those rents. What's happening is that the apartments at fair market income are just not available. So there's many individuals, over 100 individuals right now running around basically trying to find a place to live where the government will pay 100% of their rent if it's at the fair market level and they can't make the connection with the landlords. So whatever we do, we need to understand that while they've been vilified in the past for legitimate reasons, the idea of what we're going to do with respect to landlords and how we're going to treat that and how we're going to bring housing stock back into production is critical. One of the most recent studies in the city of Kingston show that there are over 100 to 150 units in the city of Kingston that are currently vacant and not used. Those are things that we really need to think about how to do, and it's some of the things that are under conversation right now with the Housing Committee. Thank you for your time.
I'm using my wife's computer tonight, so I'm getting used to where I find everything, so bear with me as I go through all this. Again, thank you, Legislator Bartels, for your effort on this. It's something that obviously, you know, it's right in our radar right now and things that something we'll be dealing with for the foreseeable future. So thank you, and we look forward to hearing more about this in the future. All right, so we're going to move on to resolution number 274, which is authorizing the required steps for the transfer of real property owned by Ulster County and located on Golden Hill, City of Kingston, to the Ulster County Housing Development Corporation in the Department of Planning. I'll accept a motion.
Motion.
Motion and seconded. Okay. Any discussion on this? I think we all know that, you know, the basis of this is to get the ball rolling so yep. We can form the LDC and get the this whole process moving forward. This is a legal requirement that we have to do. There's a public hearing on this coming up too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone have any other discussion? Who's on the phone there? I'm sorry. Internet.
Can we find out the name of the caller at 0710?
This is Rick Remsnyder. I apologize.
No, that's okay, Rick. No, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah, there was a mix-up. Legislator Bartels pointed out today that the weekly update had one time and our agenda has a different time. And so the weekly update is the one that went out to the public, so we have to start at 6. In the future, we'll make sure that they match. Sorry about that. Any discussion on 274 while we're here? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. 275, which is authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with the town of Shandaken for the direct invoicing of bus fares for Shandaken summer day camp students for the Department of Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit. I believe that they pay 50% or something like that. Is that correct, Saja?
They pay $1.30 per ride, and we've already started this service, so it's just to make sure we can add this revenue source to the budget. And we worked with the town supervisor Stanley was great. We worked on a COVID plan that conformed to the Department of Health guidelines, which was challenging but also interesting for us to see how it would work, and it's been working out really great. We have two drivers that kind of handle it, and we're received some extra training on how to socially distance, and I have to applaud the counselors for making sure these kids who have really been homebound for the past 6 months almost can actually get out. And Shandaken's one of the few towns that is doing day camp at all.
Right. Yeah. Anyone have any other questions about this resolution or comments?
I'll make a motion. I'll move it.
Is there a second? Second by Legislator Mayo. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Resolution 288, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Alindus Information Services. So I'm not quite sure what that is.
Hi, this is Alan from Information Services. Hi, so Al. That is our Cherwell ticketing system. This is what is used for submitting tickets to for various IT services. It also has some interfaces with the public safety population and some custom interfaces for that population and Department of Social Services. It's essentially for IT service requests.
So it's like a help desk support kind of.
It's a ticketing system that allows us to do tracking and a life cycle of assets and ticket management and workflow and assignment of onboarding requests and
gotcha,
et cetera, et cetera. Everything having to do with the, you know, break fix, IT issues, networking, you know, security, yep, IT assets, et cetera, et cetera.
So in the end, can you generate reports from this to determine, you know, where your, you know, what I don't want to say weak spots, but where the trouble spots tend to be?
Exactly. That's one of the key features of the tool, that it gives us some metrics that we can say we need to shore up this aspect of the operations, or we're spending a lot of time doing X, Y, and Z. How can we fine tune our onboarding requests, for example, because we know they get hung up in this particular spot. So those types of the reporting capabilities of the software is quite rich, and we can do exports to like Microsoft Power BI if we need to do more robust reporting, but that's one of the capabilities that it does provide. And it's one thing that we do use on our annual reports to kind of get a sense of how we're doing from year to year.
Great.
So just as some highlights about this, so the renewal for this is about a 9.8% increase over last year. It's 12,900. Last year was 11,700. That's really just support and maintenance of the software. Just as a highlight, one of the things that we did to kind of save some of our operating expenses around our ticketing system is that previously it had been hosted externally with a vendor. So they had their own hosting costs, and we had to provide a dedicated circuit VPN connection between our facility in South Manor to Denver, Colorado. That was a significant additional cost. So we brought that. And there was also some performance issues that we kept having with the hosted application. So we brought it in-house. So it's now hosted in information services, hosted at South Manor. It gives us a lot better performance. It gives us better access to sort of the database behind the scenes that we do. And we're experimenting with more of these more rich and robust reporting that I mentioned. Because it's in-house, we have that kind of capability. And what we're paying for now is just more of like the licensing of the software itself. So one thing I wanted to mention is when we brought this service in-house, our overall expenses were reduced by approximately $8,000 year over year from bringing it in-house. But anyway, just that's a little side note, but that's essentially what Alindus is. And this, I guess the revised contract amount is upwards of $164,000. $650, which is really just implementation costs from the previous years. And from the previous years, it included the hosting and VPN tunnel, which as I mentioned, has been decommissioned. So now it's just software and maintenance from September of this year through the end of August of next year.
And do they provide any training for our county employees with this, or just like booklets or web pages, that kind of thing?
They do, but we provide a lot of the training that is necessary for our county constituents. We have a lot of deep experience personally with our team. So if there's any training that needs to get done, we do it ourselves. I mean, one of the things that's also useful that we use it for is for, you know, alerts for when COVID-19 hit. We posted a lot of our own internal training documentation up there, videos that we created. So it becomes kind of like a one-stop shop for anything having to do with maintenance support of our county employees and their various constituents.
Great. Thank you
very much. I'll move the resolution.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No? Thank you very much. I appreciate your time there. That was a great explanation. Resolution 289, approving the execution of the contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County of Goya P.M. and Brett Incorporated, doing business as Newcastle Communications for Information Services.
Yeah, this is Alan again. So, yeah, so this is
an amendment. I'll move it for discussion.
We have a second. Okay, we have a second. Okay, go ahead. Thanks, Alan.
Sure. So this is the renewal, one-year renewal of services support for our VoIP system. Over time, the contract has evolved to include like voicemail services and a support that was not previously covered on previous contracts. So the amendment amount is for October 22nd of this year to October 21st of the following year for $165,550, which is a zero increase from the from this year's amount. The total revised contract after the amendment would be a $727,292 and change. Just as a reference, so the Newcastle VoIP system was originally implemented in 2013. So we're going on to how many years is that? Almost 7, going on to 8 years. And the contract right now for the county, the overall county VoIP system has to do with our remote and on-site support that we get from Newcastle, which we do use pretty regularly. They're very responsive. They also manage services for the actual call center software. They manage that the appliances that are on site. There's also some software maintenance that comes along with that. Office Watch, which is how we can keep track of call volumes and where calls being spent and how we do, how we can understand how calls are being, how various departments are utilizing the service, after hour support, et cetera, and voicemail and technical support for the overall system itself.
Is there an instant messaging aspect to this, or you guys just, what do you use for that in the county?
Yeah, Newcastle does provide some additional sort of what they call collaborative services, like instant messaging, collaboration software.
Like Slack or something like that?
Yeah, it is really pathetic, actually. You know, so, okay. For some of the stuff that we get out of Microsoft Teams, which is, you know, a separate conversation, which is a product that is sort of built into our Office 365 product suite. It's hands down superior to what Newcastle provides. So in fact, I mean, we're looking at, very seriously looking at, some on the phone may have experienced VoIP related performance issues over the last 6 months due to COVID-19 and some of the dependencies and impact and usage of the voice system over the last 6 months. It's showing its age. And it's showing its age from both the hardware perspective. Some of the hardware is old. Some of it's not supported as easily supported. And just the industry is moving in another direction that Newcastle is struggling to stay on top of. Unfortunately, there's a lot of hardware dependencies that we're trying to understand and tease out. But we're aggressively looking at sort of cloud-based solutions to help kind of pull us out of these hardware dependencies, give us some capabilities that we just don't have with the Newcastle system, and also give us some features that are not available in a system like Newcastle. Like, for instance, some of the newer systems, voice systems, in retrospect with COVID-19, a modern VoIP system would have been really superior, was to be able to take your phone off your desk and go home and plug it in, and it'll wake up like it's on the county network. So those kinds of scalable capabilities is ideal in a situation like COVID-19, but it doesn't have to be COVID-19. But today, I know Steve Peters from the emergency management was talking about them scaling up for the hurricane. If there was a true issue, they could have taken a pile of phones, stood them up somewhere, and they would have had VoIP service somewhere else, right, in a physical location, but as long as there was internet access. So we're aggressively looking at that. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's some cost analysis that needs to get done, but we're aggressively looking at it. But to date, I mean, our support from Newcastle has been really great as far as professional services. It's just that the hardware and the platform is showing its age, and we're looking at some alternatives.
Well, thank you very much. Anyone have any questions in regard to the voiceover IP stuff? Okay, thank you. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're gonna move to resolution 290 now, I believe, right? Yep, 290, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 into the county by the United Way of Ulster County for employment and training. Someone want to move for discussion, or we just want to vote?
I'll move for discussion.
Second? Okay. Is there any discussion?
Never seen an amendment to reduce a contract.
Yeah, right. Well, is it reducing it?
Or is that a different one?
I think it's a different one. I think this one.
Oh, okay.
Is, yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the training is, but we can probably, if Mark might be aware, I don't know, Mark, are you aware, or Chris White, are either of you aware what this is?
I don't have any.
I'm trying to pull it up. Sorry. Hold on.
All right. Yeah. Well, let me see. I have it here. I can probably look too. So. I just didn't know if you guys knew off the top of your head.
Yeah, it says, this is 290. It says, Amendment 1, decrease funding, reduce number of participants.
Oh, yes, right. I remember this now.
Because is the Summer Youth Employment Program?
Right.
Because of COVID, we had unfortunately, less participants than we normally would have.
Right, okay. Well, this is good. You're right, Abe. I'm not often we see a reduction. All right, so I think we'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then the last resolution tonight would be resolution number 291, which is approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for Barton and Lagdois DPC in the planning department. I believe that's for the extension of the rail trail. Is that what that one is? Dennis?
Move it for discussion.
Yep. Second.
Okay. Chris, go ahead.
This is a study that is for the most western part of the corridor. So it doesn't connect to the Ashokan Rail Trail. It's between High Mount and Big Indian in the town of Shandaken. It's a 5-mile area that was designated for conversion to trail. And what this is, it's a federally funded study that we're doing basically to see what it would take to make that into a trail. You know, it will assess where our wetlands are. It will assess what the current condition of the structures are. There's two major bridges. And it will also just look at where the trailhead should be. We're not sure where this thing would begin and end. So it's looking at logical termini for the trail.
Okay. And somebody else is paying for it. So I guess that's good news too, right?
Yeah, it's 95% federal and then 5% my time.
That's good.
No, no county cash.
Great.
And my screen's telling me Rick Remsnyder was speaking. I don't know if he.
I think he should get some background noise. Okay, go ahead, Herb.
Brian.
Yeah, go ahead, Herb.
All right, Chris. I know the DNA or the Delaware and Hudson wanted to come down a ways from where they are at High Mount now. Is that going to be also included in the study?
We have an agreement with them right now that allows them to come down and have a station in High Mount in Ulster County. So you may remember we negotiated and signed that agreement about a year and a half ago. So this will take into account how this dovetails with their new station, which I think was delayed because of COVID. They haven't operated or done much maintenance, but I know that at some point they're going to bring their train back from Arkville to the bottom of Bel Air Mountain. And that's probably where we'd have a combined trailhead to access the trail. Yeah.
So it will be part of Barton LaJudice's assignment to review all of that as part of this report.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so then we're gonna go on to old business. Is there any old business that anyone wants to bring up or like to discuss? Just wanna comment, Rick, that I got the travel guide and I think it's excellent, actually. It's very, very good. I picked it up at Adams.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, it was very good, very informative, a lot of stuff in there, and it's pretty current, actually. It has a lot of, call about COVID before you go stuff in there, you know, which is kind of surprising at this point, you know. But it was very good, very well done, very well put together.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Any new business? Okay, Legislator Litz, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
No move, sir.
A second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, everyone. Thank you very much for
Take care, everybody.
Quick meeting.
Stay safe and healthy.
Take care.
Bye.